Begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray, please. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With that in mind, let us confess our sins first in the silence of our hearts. Now we confess our sins as a community of faith. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all. I'm going to invite you to pray the prayer of the day in unison. Gracious God, we thank you today for Mary's courage, for the strength she showed in uncertainty, the trust she placed in your promises, and for the love she poured out as she raised Jesus. Bless all who look to Mary as a reminder that you work through ordinary people to bring extraordinary grace into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely gather, nestling bird or star in heaven, what a refuge there was given. Today we look to the example of Mary and her tremendous faith in response to what God called her to do. From the first chapter of Luke, beginning at the 26th verse. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts. Amen. Please be seated. Well, indeed, happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers, and a blessing to all of those women of faith who continue to nurture and guide us and love us and put up with us in their lives. So that's a part of it too. As I was pondering this message today, I came across an opening illustration which said this: one day is not enough. And went on to say, while it's wonderful that we set aside one day each year to especially honor our mothers, let's reflect for a moment on all the things that our mothers do for us. First of all, they bring us into this world through a biological miracle wrought by God that is amazing, but certainly not easy. Then they spend the next two decades preparing meals, solving problems, kissing boo-boos, helping us learn everything from how to brush our teeth to how to navigate the difficulties of the real world. Then they spend the rest of their lives fretting and worrying about us. And if you don't believe that, call my mother today. She still worries and frets about me, okay? They care for us, and they make sacrifices that are beyond words. And even after they have passed on, and Mother's Day can be especially tough for those who have lost mothers, their influence is so powerful that it always stays with us. So one day is nice, but it's not enough. The best way to honor mothers and women of faith, in fact, all people of faith, is to look at a person in particular who is a model of faithfulness for us, that teaches us a lesson in faithfulness, and that is none other than Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke chapter 1 records this great model of faithfulness for us. And as the text unfolds today, the very first thing that we hear of is this greeting, a very special greeting by none other than the angel Gabriel. Well, who is Gabriel? Gabriel is introduced to us three times in the Bible. First in the Old Testament, all the way back in the book of Daniel, chapters 8 and 9. When he appears in a vision to Daniel and shares with him the restoration of Jerusalem. Gabriel appears a second time at the earlier part of this first chapter of Luke's gospel when he appears to the old priest Zechariah to announce the birth of John the Baptist. And it's there in that section, verse 19, that we are given a clue about who Gabriel is. It tells us he stands in the presence of God and is sent to bring the good news. And the final appearance is today, shortly after that appearance to Zechariah, when he comes to Mary to announce God's calling for her to bear God's only begotten Son. And who's Mary? There are several Marys in the Bible, so it could be confusing. And there's more than one even in Jesus' life that he impacts. But this Mary is a descendant of King David. So is Joseph, to whom she is betrothed. Now, a betrothal, of course, is like an engagement today, but much more binding. And she was also a virgin, the Bible tells us. And we have to take that as God's word and not question that. There was no hanky-panky going on here. There was no premarital union. Matthew 1:18 actually verifies this for us when we are told in that account, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." There it is, God's word. And we have that greeting then as Gabriel comes to her, and then he brings some words of reassurance. Now, I like to say it like this: whenever angels appear, there's always fear, right? Gabriel did not appear in the form of a person, but clearly as an angel. He was recognized as a heavenly being, which should strike fear into the hearts of any person who would encounter such a heavenly being. And most of us know that in all of those angelic or heavenly messenger appearances throughout Scripture, what is almost always the very first words uttered by those angels? Fear not. Why? Because we're afraid. We're in the presence of one of God's messengers. And so Gabriel's first words to Mary are, "Do not be afraid." And that's followed with a word of reassurance, "For you have found favor with God." Now, I don't know about you, but the appearance of the angel is one thing, and maybe even less frightening than that kind of a phrase, "God's found favor with you," which means God's got a purpose and a plan for you. It's like your preacher calling and greeting you with that friendly voice, but you know there's something else coming, right? There's an ask for something. And like God, we wouldn't ask if we didn't think you had the ability and the gifts to be up for the task that we have set before you. Well, here's the purpose. And it's at the heart of Mary's call. Think of Mary this way. She's not a fountain ready to pour out from her own well. She's rather a vessel ready to receive a very special gift and a very special calling. And God knew that she was up to the task. I mean, she's already a godly woman. And by becoming the virgin mother of God's Son, Mary would most certainly need that full protection that God would afford to her. Because how could she defend herself against the slander that would come? And against how could she protect her babe from the murderous hands that we all know as we look back at the story? And even before Mary is further enlightened, the assurance of the Lord's promise and presence and help and protection are given to her. And so when Gabriel assures her that the Lord is with you, it's much more than just a nice wish. It's a promise that God will be with her through all that she has to face and endure, and that will be quite a lot. In verse 31, Gabriel shares three clear and simple things about God's intent for what Mary's called to do. Very, very simple, very pointed. First of all, she is to conceive in her womb. Then she's to bear a son, to carry that son for 9 months in her womb, and then to call his name Jesus. And that's the heart of Mary's call. We'll unpack this more in just a moment, but let that sink in just for a minute there. Put yourself in Mary's position. Understand the gravity of what she is being called to do. Remember, again, she's betrothed to Joseph. Now, Luke doesn't tell us a whole lot more about Joseph other than who he is. But if we go to Matthew's gospel and this account that's there in Matthew, Matthew tells us Joseph was a good man. He didn't want any harm to come to Mary. And he has resolved to divorce her quietly. After all, it wasn't his child that she was pregnant with. But again, we go back to part of God's promise to be with Mary was to offer her protection and guidance. And Matthew recalls that God sent an angel to Joseph in a dream to reveal what was taking place. And so then Joseph fulfilled that role of an earthly father, offering protection and guidance and support and encouragement and love. Everything needed for a solid family, for a good home environment. Joseph also had a calling to be faithful to God and to Mary and to this precious child that she was carrying. Let's talk about the name of Jesus for a moment. That name literally means that Yahweh saves or God saves. And we know this. God sent his son, his only begotten son, to save us. Yeah, there were other deliverers before. Moses, whom God called to deliver Israel from slavery in Egypt. Esther, whom God chose to help deliver her people in the Persian Empire from certain destruction. But Jesus is much more than just a deliverer. He came to save us not from an evil empire or from a dictator or from communism or socialism. Jesus came to save us, to deliver us from our bondage to sin and death. This is why Gabriel didn't give Mary much time to ponder the conception before she would bear this child and name him Jesus. He goes on immediately to declare God's greater purpose, not for Mary, but for the whole world. He will be great. He's talking about this child that Mary was going to give birth to. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. This elevates Jesus above any other person that God sent to deliver his people. His greatness is absolute because he's not just a man. He is the very Son of God. And Gabriel goes on to say, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Not just an earthly throne we're talking about here, not just an earthly kingdom. It ties us all the way back to God's purpose and plan of salvation before creation was even made. And extends then through King David, who was not perfect, yet had a tremendous heart for God. And we hear that promise reiterated in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 13. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And Jesus himself spoke of this promise in John 18, 36, when he was standing on trial before Pilate. He said to Pilate and all those standing there in that court, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. There are many other references to what Gabriel shares here throughout Scripture, but it's tied to God's eternal kingdom and that victorious reign that Jesus will have through all of eternity at the right hand of God. Gabriel shares he will also reign over the house of Judah, or house of Jacob, rather, and therein lies God's promise of salvation to the Jews. And then Gabriel hits it with an exclamation point, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Again, you and I know we studied throughout history earthly kingdoms that rise and fall, but the kingdom that Jesus came to establish is the promise that we all look forward to. Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5 gives us just a glimpse, just a clue of what that will be like. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. That's Mary's calling. And God's plan of salvation for the universe is at the heart of that call for Mary. Because in that, God turns the world upside down. Again, put yourself in Mary's shoes and understanding how this for her is overwhelming. God had just told her through Gabriel that she's going to bear the Son of God who's going to impact all of creation. And you know what? The only question she asked is, how would this be since I'm a virgin? Mary was taught from little on the promises and the prophecies of God. She knew that from day one. She trusted those promises. And if God was going to include her in a key role, she was fully willing to accept that. Her question was more practical, yet understandable. I'm a virgin. How can I bear a child? That concept in that moment eluded her. We know and we believe in the virgin birth. In fact, it's part of our creed that we say all the time. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. I don't know about you, but I don't question that, because I know that the same God who spoke and the world came into being, who took dust and formed it into a man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, if God can do that, God can take the seed of a human being, both human and divine, and plant him into the womb of a young woman. Those are the words of the angel Gabriel. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And then I love the exclamation point here, verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. We need to hear those words today. Nothing will be impossible with God. I mean, how often do we doubt God? Think about that. How often do we doubt God's power? We doubt God's authority. We doubt God's wisdom, his knowledge. And all we need to do is turn our doubt and fears over to God and to trust in God. We need to hear those words again, for nothing will be impossible with God. Jesus showed that in his own life and ministry. He healed the sick. He turned water into wine. He calmed the stormy sea. He calmed troubled hearts. He raised the dead. Nothing is impossible with God. And how does Mary respond? With a faith that I think encourages and empowers us. Behold, she says, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Did you hear that? No hesitation, no doubt, no fears, just pure faith. Lord, I hear your call. I put my life in your hands. Use me, Mary is saying. Use me to your glory, to your honor, that I might humbly and faithfully serve you. How do we do with that? I know it's hard, and that includes myself, right? We want to be in control. We want to be in charge. We're like those others in Luke chapter 9 that Jesus called to follow. And one said, oh, let me first go and bury my father. Another said, let me go and say farewell to those at my home. We want to follow. We desire to follow. But there's always something that gets in the way. But I have to tell you, there's times in my life where I have fully put my trust in God. I put my life in God's hands. And I have not regretted one of those moments ever, because God used me for his glory and for his honor. And I know we are not perfect, but we are forgiven, okay? And thanks be to God that he still loves us, cares for us, and does forgive us. And so ask yourself this question. Like Mary, what opportunity is God placing in your life? Where is God asking you to put your trust in him? Where is God calling you to carry his word and to bear fruit that will benefit others? Think about those things. Pray about those things. In fact, let's do just that. Lord God, thank you for your servant Mary and her amazing faith that accepted the call that you had for her without doubt or fear, fully trusting and placing her life in your hands. And so, Lord, guide us to trust you more and to listen to your call, that we might take a leap of faith, or at least a step in that direction, Lord, to bear fruit, to point to you, to honor you, and to serve you in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Almighty God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and give us the faith of Mary, not only to respond when you call us to service, but to trust in you to guide and direct us according to your will, that we may bear fruit that always points to you and honors you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, Prince of Peace, we pray for peace in this world. As we, as a human community, continue to struggle against evil and sin, grant safety to all who are in harm's way. Watch over children, the elderly, and the weak in the midst of war. Watch over those who put their lives on the line for our freedoms, for our armed forces, for first responders. Put your hand of protection over them. Guide our leaders at every level of government. And guide world leaders to work for justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, with a word or with a touch, you brought healing. And so we ask in your mercy that you would watch over and speak to and touch all who are sick or ill, those who are impacted by sorrow and suffering, those who have lost loved ones. Lord God, bless them and heal them. Watch over those who have been hospitalized, especially Faye and Kermit, for those grieving the loss of loved ones, especially the family of Dennis Durst, and for those who are shut-ins or in nursing homes or in assisted living. And today we lift before you Debbie and Vernell, Betty and Bernice and Hans. Grant to them and to all your strength and your love. And Lord God, we lift up those who are caring for loved ones. Give them strength and courage day in and day out. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, as we come to your table, as we lay our cares before you, help us to experience your presence, your power, and your wonderful gift of forgiveness. Lord, we ask that you would renew us and strengthen us to serve you and honor you in all aspects of our lives. Now into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Children of God, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, now strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray, please. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with this one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, children of God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join...
assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels
This time of worship is now ended, and the service begins. We leave to live out God's call to save the lost and strengthen the saved. May we go to be and make disciples, blessing and teaching in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And remember, He is with you always, even to the end of time.